This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Paul. Our next guest is Walkley Award-winning journalist Adele Ferguson. Adele writes for Fairfax, now part of Channel 9, but also does a lot of work with the ABC. And Adele's latest book is called Banking Bad. It's about the Banking Royal Commission, published by HarperCollins. Good morning, Adele. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Now, my first question I want to ask, Adele, is what has been the feedback from the banking industry? A lot of them, you know, will have bought the book and, you know, analysed it. There'd be sticky notes sticking out every third page. What sort of feedback have you had? Can you share some of it with us? Have the industry, have they reached out to you to tell you, you know, you're a bad person?
No, they haven't. There's been radio silence from the top echelons of the banking sector, but I have had feedback from people who work in the industry, and it's been really positive. That, you know, it's really... Because what the book did was it didn't just look at the Royal Commission. It went back to deregulation in the 80s of the financial system and just what happened from there, you know, which really set this in train, and then all the scandals that eventually led to the Royal Commission. So it really puts it into the context of why we got here.
Also, Adele, I mean, you know, you started writing about misbehaviour and, you know, I'll call it criminal activity in the banking system many years ago. And you fought really hard for Royal Commission, and the Royal Commission, the impetus for that Royal Commission wouldn't have happened without a lot of the work you did. And I congratulate you and thank you for that, because it took a long time to get the Royal Commission and the government had to be dragged kicking and screaming. Did you ever think, you know, when you started this, that you'd actually be successful in getting a Royal Commission? And were you surprised, even though you'd done a lot of deep dive into the issues, were you surprised by some of the stuff that came out of the Royal Commission?
To answer your first question, I did believe we would get a Royal Commission. That's why I kept going, because I, you know, kept on covering scandal after scandal and more whistleblowers were coming forward. And I thought, eventually, they have to crumble on this. And with the life insurance scandal with Commonwealth Bank, the Labor Party decided in 2016 to back a Royal Commission. They were in opposition, but you knew that it was just a matter of time before it would happen. That really was the turning point here. Am I surprised at some of the stuff that came out of the Royal Commission? Absolutely. It was vindication. I knew it was a rotten system, but it really showed that it was on a massive industrial scale. You know, this fees for no services, which is, you know, almost $1 billion right now, where they were deliberately, in the case of AMP, it was deliberately lying to the regulator, making excuses to the regulator that the reason we're charging fees for no service is because our, you know, technology isn't right. There's been glitches in the system. You know that old excuse? It was deliberate. It was a deliberate lie to make money. And that did shock me that they got, you know, here they are actually lying to the regulator and creating these spurious stories to make money.
Adele, hi, good morning. It's Paul here. Do you think that the banks themselves really had any idea just quite how rotten they were? Because a lot of the stuff that came out seemed to be surprising to some of the people that were there answering questions. Do you think they have a handle now, just now, what is going on, any more than they did probably 5 years ago?
Yeah, look, I think they always knew. If they didn't, it was, you know, see no evil, hear no evil. They you know, when you've got front page stories and you've got four corners show exposing systemic misconduct in financial advice and life insurance and other areas, how can you say this is all a big shock to me? And they had internal whistleblowers that never came forward to the media that are, you know, exposing things. So I'm a little bit cynical that they were, you know, shocked, horrified by all of this. I really am. I suppose what else are they going to say?
It's a bit like, you know, people, you know, saying, oh, I wasn't aware we're at war and people are getting killed, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember there was a wonderful quote you gave us. I think it was last time we spoke, talking about your book, and you said, Macca, the public wanted heads on sticks.
Yeah.
Have they got heads on sticks, or are there more?
No.
There's more heads and there's certainly more sticks needed, aren't there?
Yeah, there are, and there are no heads on sticks yet. We don't know who they're going after. We know that they're looking into, there have been some criminal recommendations made by the Royal Commission. We don't know who they are, and nothing has happened so far. So we're still waiting.
Adele, that's going to be a question for me. Is that, you know, do you think they're moving fast enough? Because there's enough information now for the regulators to really try and get some tangible action. So do you think they're doing enough?
No, I think, no, they're not. It doesn't move fast enough, and it's not just the regulators, it's the legal system. Everything is just so slow, and I think we really need to put the spotlight on why does it take so long to get anything to get into the court system. It's just crazy.
And, you know, it's a pretty shocking thing, you know, when you see what has been going on, but what is most shocking is the impact that this has had on some people's lives, and you've reported a lot on that. You know, there are people that have taken their own lives, there are people that have, you know, become bankrupt, there are people, all, you know, lots of their life has been destroyed. Yet, are we seeing enough of a change, Adele? Are we seeing, you know, are the banks and the financial institutions and the insurance companies, are they changing their ways enough, or are they just doing enough to satisfy the baying mob that perhaps don't know all the detail?
I think they're just doing enough. I think one of the problems with the Royal Commission, it was too short. It was only 12 months for such a massive sector. You know, so you put it into context, you've got a $2.8 trillion superannuation sector with retail funds and industry funds, self-managed super funds. It had 2 weeks at the Royal Commission.
Yeah.
And they only really got a chance to look at a handful of them in very shallow detail. And that went on. There were many areas that weren't looked at all due to the short time limit. And because of that, you know, they got away with a lot. They needed a lot more of the blowtorch put on them for cultures to really change. Right now, I think they're just doing enough.
I think one of the... Is there someone who appeared at the Royal Commission that stands out to you as an example of... well, I think Ken Henry's performance was interesting.
It was shocking.
It was shocking, yes. But is there someone, you know, is there another, someone else who appeared at the Royal Commission that, you know, when you watched it, you're like, are you serious? Like, do you actually expect...
Yeah, there were a lot.
I mean, IOOF, they didn't cover themselves with glory at the Commission, did they?
Oh, it was a disgrace.
Yeah.
People were tweeting me at the time about Chris Kelleher, who was the CEO of IOOF, his arrogance and disdain at being there. He was just... felt outraged that how dare I get called, and you know, was not answering questions. And then they were talking about at board meetings there were handwritten minutes.
Yes,
and you're saying, oh, I'm not a handwriting expert, so yes. I couldn't read them. You think this is a top 100 ASX listed company?
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here? There were other cases. There was the CEO of Commonwealth Bank, Matt Common, who's talking about consumer credit insurance, which is this dodgy product that they'd been selling. So in the UK, it had blown up and billions of pounds had to be repaid to customers. Australia had it here. And he had gone to the CEO at the time, Ian Narev, to say, this product is not a good product. People are buying it and they can never claim on it, so we should get rid of it. And he has a handwritten note, and the Royal Commission says, what does this mean? Temper your sense of justice. And what it was 2015 where the meeting was held, and Ian Narev has told him, temper your sense of justice. Yeah. So at the time, the Common Shaw chief medical officer who became a whistleblower and blew the lid on life insurance sends me a text saying he tempered his sense of justice in 2015 by not doing anything else and kept selling that product, and he's now the CEO. I couldn't temper my sense of justice when I saw wrongdoing in life insurance, and I was terminated.
Yeah, crazy. The book you've got here really does a great job in just trying to set up the reasons why we're in the situation that we're in. But also, I think you touch on quite a few of the human stories of the people that really have been affected, either victims or the whistleblowers, have actually really done a great job in holding their nerve to actually bring this back to the Commission and actually make them realise that it's about people.
It is. It's all about people at the end of the day. You know, the whole thing has been about profit before people. No one minds companies making a profit. We celebrate it. But when they're doing it at the expense, when they're conducting criminal activity or selling policies that are deliberately going to be knocked back because they've got out-of-date medical definitions that they know about, that is just roguish behaviour.
It's appalling. We've run out of time, unfortunately, Adele, but, you know, this is a great read. People should buy it. At the end of the day, you know, you've exposed so much criminal activity, you know, whether it was 7-Eleven, you know, some of the activities in some of the franchises in the banking industry, in the financial services industry. I just hope that CEOs and CFOs, when they get a message that Adele Ferguson's on the phone, they actually get some idea of what's coming, because I certainly wouldn't want you coming after me.
I'm sure I wouldn't need to, Michael.
You say that, Adele.
thanks, Adele, and thanks for your work. It really does make a difference. And as you know, I've got two copies of this book. When we catch up, I've got to get you to sign them for me. So
I'd love to.
Thank you. Thanks for your work, and thanks for your time this Saturday, Adele.
Thanks, Adele.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.